Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
A new state bill wants to change how Native American history is taught. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. U.S. school standards for teaching Native American history largely date back to 19th century guidelines, which means kids can learn often incomplete or outright inaccurate history. But that could change soon in Illinois. To find out more, we're talking to WBEZ education reporter Susie Ahn. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Sasha.
So what's the issue here when it comes to how Native American history is taught today?
Well, it really comes from just kind of one perspective. And it's been taught in a way for kind of just decades. It's just sort of been taught this way, sort of this antiquated view of Native American history. And Indigenous advocates want to see that change. They want to see it not only modernized, but to have their voices heard in creating a curriculum and having a say in what materials are taught.
How would this bill address these inequities?
So it's interesting, a bill that came before this, the Asian American Education Bill, it leaves it up to school districts to kind of form the curriculum. But a Native American collaborative will make resources available for the most accurate and fully formed curriculum, make materials available through the State Board of Education. So while we might see the curriculum look different from one school district to another, the hope is that there will be more resources available for schools. Advocates are also hoping that districts will make the opportunity for teachers to do some professional development, possibly, you know, unlearn things that they may have learned when they were in school, mm-hmm. To be able to give their students a more accurate and fuller lesson.
And to that end, you focus in the story on Megan Bang, right, whose son is the descendant of Native Americans who attended boarding schools. What happened in her situation?
Right. So last May, her son was graduating from high school in Evanston, and he was wearing some Native American regalia, some an eagle feather and a traditional beading on his cap and gown. And before getting to the stage, he was stopped and told that this was inappropriate. You can't come to the graduation ceremony and cross like this. And this was meant to honor the elders who were there with him. Elders who had attended Indian boarding schools, which were essentially meant to eliminate their traditions and replace them with what you know they thought of as American traditions, and so to eliminate their culture in a way. And so, you know, elders of his family had experienced those abuses, and he wanted to wear the traditional feather and beading to honor the elders who were with him at the ceremony, and yeah. He wasn't able to do that. And Megan, you know, it was hard for her son to experience that. And he also understood it also comes from a place of just a lack of understanding, a lack of education. And so, you know, she and others feel that if there is education, a true education, and accurate depiction of Indigenous peoples and their life, that there wouldn't be situations like this. And she says this is, of course, a very blatant situation here. But, you know, her kids experienced little things, microaggressions throughout their schooling that, you know, had there been better education, they wouldn't experience things like this.
So is wearing traditional Native clothing items, is that addressed in this new bill?
So not this specific education bill, but there is a separate bill
okay.
That addresses actually what Meghan's son experienced. And it was this bill came out of response to that, that would allow students to wear clothing of religious or cultural significance at school.
See. Well, so the bill that we are currently speaking about, what's the pushback there?
So, you know, for any sort of education bill, there is usually some kind of criticism of unfunded mandates, whether there could be an issue with a school district being able to do what the bill says. That's why you're seeing in the bill that districts can decide how they do the curriculum. So there was some pushback on that, but then, you know, on the other end of that, there was some criticism of, well, you know, if we're allowing districts to come up with their own curriculum, does that mean that we're just going to have a bunch of different standards? So that was another issue as well. In the House debate, there was also mention of, you know, whether a depiction of Christopher Columbus will be inaccurate. You know, we've seen a lot about statues being taken down, Christopher Columbus statues being taken down. And that also entered into the debate of, you know, if we're coming up with a Native American education curriculum, how is Christopher Columbus going to be depicted in that? The bill's sponsor, Representative Maurice West, said, you know, it's not about that. It is about Native American history. That is a separate issue.
I see. Wow. Lots there. That was WBEZ education reporter Susie Ahn. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
We'll shift now to hear how the curriculum for Native American history can be updated for the 21st century. With us is Andrew Johnson, a board member of the Chicago American Indian Community Collaborative. Now, Andrew, before we get into what schools could or should be teaching their classes on this topic, I want to first ask what you think educators need to unlearn when teaching Native American history.
I think it's in a couple of areas that we do have Native American Heritage Month, and it seems that that is the only time that our history is addressed, or even where we are seen as citizens here. So we would like to let people know that, my goodness, we're American Indians 12 months out of the year, and not just that one there in November.
Right, right.
So different things happen during the year activities, ceremonies that can be brought forth for the students to help them understand and break out of that particular cycle. So these are some of the things to unlearn and to learn that there are many facets that help support us, that guide us, that have positioned us and developed that we can bring to bear and help others.
Well, you know, to that end, a big point of contention we know among the legislators in Springfield, as Susie mentioned, it's how the bill portrays Christopher Columbus. What's the best way to approach his role in history while also accurately including Native American history?
It is a varied subject that really goes to the heart of Native Americans in that you look at what happened 500 years ago, and the perception is where you stand. And it's something that needs to get across that America was not discovered by this individual. And that's something that really needs to get across. This was contact from two advanced civilizations here on the earth that occurred. And then people do need to understand that that was the beginning of the conquest and genocide of the American continents here. What happened shapes us today. And people need to understand that that particular history from the time of that landing up through today.
Mm-hmm.
We have particular periods of time and federal policy that has been related to it that we would love to get across. And it does begin with the Native nations here being very, very powerful, centered tribes, And it goes beyond that too. Mm-hmm. But from Columbus, it is a very, very sore point from our side. And we feel it really does need to be addressed and the truth mm-hmm. brought out with the effect it has had on us. And it affects us through today.
It's almost like the lessons need to start there, right?
Absolutely. And it needs to be looked in continuity, too. It's very interesting. I speak in front of many, many groups. And when I'm able to talk about natives from a perspective of when the Europeans landed up through today, it really does help them see that progression and put us into why we are addressing the particular issues we are today, why we're stand. And then on top of that, we have to make sure that our history doesn't begin just 500 years ago. We have been in these lands since time immemorial, and we want people to understand that, too,
yeah.
that this is a continuity, this is a continuation of our history, and not just something that happened 500 years ago.
So that said, Andrew, what resources would be useful, then, in trying to craft this future Native American history curriculum?
Well, I think it's not the specific content. What it is and what's coming about with this is that we have a Native American working group that is engaged with the Illinois State Board of Education. And this particular group is not built into the bill, but we appreciate the board taking the initiative to reach out to listen to us, to engage with us. This only really began as of last October mm-hmm. of 2022. And so out of the Chicago American Indian Community Collaborative and others from a national level are participating in weekly meetings with the State Board of Education. And crafting the standards around that, pulling the resources together that will tell our story properly.
Okay. Oh, so you're already very much involved.
It's a long ways to go. This
yeah.
is really a first step. If we think about it, this is only since last October have we really been engaged in this way. So we appreciate what ISBE's doing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. Some folks may not even realize that the Chicago area has one of the largest urban populations of Native people, right?
Mm-hmm.
One tribe that we know lived and still lives in the Midwest region are the Potawatomi. Those people, they're still fighting for rights, still fighting for land in Illinois to this day. How does the bill factor into that ongoing struggle?
It really is to let people know. And I think that's something interesting about what the content will contain, because actually there are seven bands of the Potawatomi, and the Prairie Band is the one that has a bill in front of Congress right now. Congressman Garcia and Congressman Garcia is introduced to the bill,
mm-hmm.
And this is to return lands that were taken from them, that were unlawfully sold by the U.S. government. And so for people to understand that particular piece, that we do have claimed lands here, they've been trying to get that back for mm-hmm. almost 200 years, and that there are seven bands, and that we're not a homogeneous group. There are 574 tribal nations within
yeah.
the United States. So one can't really speak of Native American and encompass everyone.
Yeah.
That with each one of those tribal nations, there are different customs, clothing, religious aspects, language, all of that.
And on this note, I want you to help us understand what does it mean when a tribe is recognized by the government versus when they aren't? Like, what's the significance?
It is a formal process that the federal government has followed. That's part of what we want to get into is the sovereignty of the tribal nations. These were independent nations that signed treaties with our federal government. So there is a nation-to-nation relationship there, and the treaties are the highest law of the land. Anyways, it is a one-sided pact that's there,
mm-hmm.
that the federal government goes through their particular process, and then grants recognition from their side.
I see.
So that's what's been occurring over the years and now.
So you talked a little bit there about the Chicago American Indian Community Collaborative and its support for this bill. But how can folks become involved with your group or just support Native American community in general?
I think definitely go to our website, chicagoaicc.com or .org. Google the Chicago American Indian Community Collaborative or some of our organizations. We have 17 different organizations within our collaborative, and it covers cultural facilities, social services, economic development, affordable housing, employment, healthcare, education, arts, museum, all across the board. I'm here as a board member of, we call it CAICC, C-A-I-C-C.
Okay.
But my particular organization, I'm the executive director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois. So we work to try and help Native American entrepreneurs through their process, beginning all the way to growth.
Okay.
But because we have that many different representatives there, we try to cover the needs that way.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Andrew, what is next when it comes to this bill?
Well, we're not done yet. It's passed the different houses. There's been some amendments here and there. And so we've got to say we're still keeping our fingers crossed. We're not going to celebrate until we're over that final finish line with it and have it signed by the governor. But we're hoping we can celebrate this achievement with the governor. So I'm putting that out there for his office.
Manifestation is real.
Oh, boy. I sure hope so. But we're very happy, very pleased with how things have progressed. And I really appreciate Representative West and what he has done to help us through. We have worked with him for over a year and a half to pull this together.
Wow. Long time coming.
Very, very much so. So it's
thanks so much.
Looking forward. Thank you very much, Sasha.
Andrew Johnson is a board member of the Chicago American Indian Community Collaborative. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Michael Liptrot, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Meha Ahmed. If you haven't heard, Reset now has its very own newsletter. Catch up on the big stories, what we're up to here on the show, and join in on the conversation. You can subscribe right now by going to wbez.org/reset and enter your email. That's all for today. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the news live on WBEZ and NPR. The WBEZ stream sounds great in the kitchen on your smart speaker and anywhere on the WBEZ app. Listen every day.